Christian code, notice how he's sticking with ICS, is 7AJ. That's Tri-City Races. And Laguna Niguel, if you don't remember, is 7AI. So I find it fascinating how Wayne tries to keep us to the T, following good ICS.
But on this, on page 16 here, in that third paragraph, which we were just discussing, it says, under the MACS, each fire agency / department applies for and is assigned a unique 3-digit organizational identifier. That to me sounds like it's only fire-related responding organizations.
Okay, remember where Wayne's coming from. Okay, he is associated with Orange County Fire Authority. And he has written, he is translating the fire department's criteria for emergency communicators. And as you go further down in the paragraph here, he's talking about, well, by his actions, he has given us a 3-digit code. Okay, so just the mere fact that we have been assigned 7AN and it's 3 positions, he's clearly bridging from general ICS to specific fire services to a structure we can embrace. So I don't think it's limited strictly. Otherwise we wouldn't be doing it. And of course, they say each organization must have a unique designator. Well, they do. Looking at the third paragraph up from the bottom of the page here, it says ICS uses ICS uses a reliable and verifiable and coordinated system of resource identification and management. Now we're talking about resources. It can be people or it can be our equipment that we use. This is problematic when implementing the ICS within a volunteer radio organization because many emergency communications volunteers belong to one or more organizations. And then he underlines, in order to implement ICS, it is necessary for a volunteer to limit registering their resources to one and to only one organization at any given time. What's that say about us volunteers that are part of more than one emergency response organization?
Like you with the hospital group?
Like me and the hospital group. Mm. I really struggled with it as I read this, and I read this in ICS long ago, and I continue to struggle with it. I think this says very explicitly, those of us who volunteer for American Red Cross and RACES, or hospital group and RACES, our respective organizations that we're working for or volunteering for expect us to be a resource during a major disaster. And guess what? We are going to disappoint one or the other.
Well, that's not a new problem. And I know in the past, and I think it's in the RACES group that we've said, I'm not talking about real recent past necessarily, you need to declare what group you're going to show up for if there is in fact an emergency. In other words, you can belong to our group, but if you don't plan on showing up if there's a large emergency, we need to know that. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good point. But I think there's still a problem. For me personally, I think it's a problem. I wonder how others feel. Jay, you're part of two different groups. How do you feel?
No.
I thought you.
I thought you were Red Cross years ago.
Okay, I thought you were another group. Okay, so. Okay. And then he goes on to say, once registered, those resources cannot be registered as part of another group's organization's resources until the originating organization transfers the individual's records from one organization to the other.
When they talk about resources, is he talking about equipment here, or equipment and the person?
People. It's everything. It's all of us. It's our people. It's us. It's our training, our expertise, it's our equipment we bring along with us. Because resource means everything. So.
Now for us, we're Aries and Racies. So is that
same organization.
Yeah, or one organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have to pick and choose which one.
Yeah. Now, one thing to clarify: the hospital group. What has occurred in this context for me was that I was a primary responder for the hospital group before I joined Mission Viejo Races. And what that meant was I was assigned to when I was at work, I was assigned to a hospital close to work. And when I was home, I was assigned to a hospital close to home. And as an Aries organization, it was expected of me to check on the well-being of that hospital, say if there was an earthquake or a power outage or whatever. Immediately get on the phone or go there, talk to the emergency coordinator there and say, are you okay? Or do you need help? Do you need emergency communicators? Now we were absolutely prohibited from volunteering to do anything for the hospital if they said yes. We had to immediately hop on the net, get one of the coordinators for a hospital group and say, we need to activate because such and such a hospital is in trouble. Never commit unless you have the backup infrastructure in place. Okay, my status currently is merely I'm a member. I'm not assigned to any hospital because I have declared my primary response is racist, and obviously I'm spending most of my time. Anyway, it's food for thought for those on the listening to the tape. Where you put your priorities, and where the people that are depending on you, can they rely on you to be a resource when the rubber meets the road? Now, one thing that I did not highlight at the very beginning, going through this MAPS implementation guide, is for those on the tape and those listening in the class, really suggest you look at this document online on the VCN website, or actually in our public area for the class. And the reason is at the bottom of every one of these sections is a number of hyperlinks to documents that discuss in more depth what is highlighted here. Frankly, I'm thinking this is my homework is as I think about how to go forward with training you all is to go back through and hit these links and see what's there because I really don't know. It might provide great insight for training opportunities. Moving on to page 17. It says here that we need standardized equipment codes. I would draw your attention to section 3.8 in our manual. which happens to be our equipment list of equipment that is that each one of us has. And you'll note that a standardized equipment code has been added to that sheet. It's in red. Do take a look at that. That's in preparation for us to be able to possibly on the ResourceNet take an inventory of, do you still have 440 and 2 meter capability, or is that 2 meter handheld that you had no longer available? Is your Winlink capability still available at home? You know, that kind of thing. And that goes along with section B3. B2 and B3, to me, are basically discussing the same thing. Bottom line, we already have that implemented in our manual. Section B4 talks about standardized resource data collection. And section on page 18, B5, standardized resource data reporting. To me, it does not seem applicable to us, but I think it would be applicable if you were trying to consolidate the resources available, say, for all of South County. So it's a consolidation of our equipment list and list of people for Mr. Viejo Races. It's a consolidation, along with that is consolidated Tri-City Races, the Hams in Dana Point, the Hams in San Clemente, the Hams in San Juan, and their equipment, and then also Laguna Niguel. When you start dealing with consolidation of data, it seems to me then the issues of resource data reporting and so forth are important.
Well, everything we've been doing in these classes is for the mutual aid.
Yeah,
South County.
It is for mutual aid, but as far as reporting up, we have our individual sheets. So I guess your point is that we're doing these things and we're reporting it. We have a form in our manual, so it's been reported. It's available to all members. So you're right, we've accomplished that. Moving on page 18, section B6, position codes. Now, we already talked about position codes. We saw several of them just a few minutes ago. ZR11 is incident commander. Charlie has that role. ZR2F, that's our goal, is a field communicator. ZR2R, eventually will be EOC certification. The ZR13, that was safety officer, we talked about that. ZR41 is logistics. ZR5Q, is qualification training guy. So I would refer you to the last class, Incident Mobilization Nets, the 264B class, and specifically slide 48-1. That attachment is in fact the list of all position codes that we possibly could assign. Okay, now we've dealt with overall management or command structure, we dealt with resources, now we move on to incident objectives and priorities. And the first thing is that we have written a written incident of objectives. Well, this is our field incident action plan. If you think about it, that's where the objectives of the incident are documented. That is in our manual, and that's section 5-31.